At the National Advanced Biofuels Conference and Expo, I'm visiting with Randy Doyle. And Randy, you were just on a panel here. Give us a takeaway from your presentation. I guess, you know, the focus was on kind of policy and how it's affecting you guys.
Well, it was on policy, but, you know, I think the big takeaway for this group, this venue, was that the existing ethanol industry is looking at those next generation opportunities. We do look down that road all the time, and that the existing ethanol mm-hmm. industry is not Gen 1, but we're way down the road from Gen 1. We're far more advanced than that, and we look forward to bringing that kind of thinking into what's called advanced biofuels or the next generation of biofuels.
Well, it was good to see that we had a reporter from a local paper here who just happened to coincidentally do a nice story about ethanol here. I saw it today. So maybe some of that word is getting out there that we're not just, you know, stuck back in the gasohol days, you know. But
maybe so. It's been, you know, having come up through that whole era, you know, I've been in the industry for over 32 years now. It does have that history, but. You know, I've also been able to see all the technological advances that have happened throughout the years, and it's been tremendous.
Yeah.
The other part, you know, you asked about policy, and policy directly affects us when you consider how you're going to deploy your capital. If you have uncertainty in policy, it creates an uncertain environment, you know, in the lending community, and it creates uncertainty in your own boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, should you take these steps or not? And that's critical. If you don't have good policy, good, consistent, clear policy, it's hard to figure out your path forward.
Well, there's one thing's for sure, I think everybody will agree on, we don't have good, clear, consistent policy right at the moment. How about, since we are here talking about advanced biofuels, in your particular company's case, is this something that you are looking at as a real opportunity? Do you have some plans to perhaps get into adding that onto what you do?
Chuck, we look at it almost on a daily basis. We're always looking for that opportunity. We haven't found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of folks who are convinced that we should have, but we have not found that opportunity. That will create the additional value, has a reasonable payback, with minimal risk to the mothership, we'll say. We're looking for those opportunities, but we're not there yet. We have looked over the years at lots and lots of technologies, mm-hmm. and frankly, I'm very thankful for some of the ones that we've avoided, because I've seen them, you know, be an albatross to some folks who did try to implement them. I've tried to avoid those kind of pitfalls and try to look at it and vet the opportunity very clearly. Like I mentioned in the panel, I'm a little bit of a geek. I do like the science side, and the science is captivating, but it's got to be captivating and economic.
Mm-hmm. I think I heard you saying that you have an interest in biodiesel, too. Is that something that you're kind of looking at?
That's correct. As I mentioned, we've done a lot of pilots where we look at technologies and allow someone to come in and try and utilize our facility and learn about their own process. We're going to do that with a group called Revolution Fuel. They've got an enzymatic biodiesel process where they can utilize any feedstock, but they think that distiller's corn oil is a good feedstock. They also want to utilize ethanol instead of methanol for their ether or their ester, and that kind of synergy might be something that's useful. Well, we're going to walk before we run. We're going to make sure that we're not missing something and creating a headache or a hazard for either one of us down the road in terms mm-hmm. of our own financial conditions and theirs, and it might develop into a partnership. It might not. I can tell you again, mm-hmm. we've piloted a lot of things, none of which are at our facility today. This is a new pilot, and we think it has potential. We'll see.
Well, that's a good thing about being a geek, that you want to try these new things.
It is, it's fun, and it kind of trips my trigger, and I like to learn, and it gives me an opportunity to learn new things, and that's always great. But at the end of the day, I have my owners that I have to answer to, and they want to know that I'm utilizing their money in ways that continues to create returns for them, and that's what I've got to focus on.
Has the uncertainty we started out talking about, has that had a real impact on your company at this point?
Yes, it does. You know, when you look at that policy uncertainty, you know, we have built up capital that we want to invest, that we want to utilize. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to utilize it on if there's unclarity or there's lack of clarity on where the U.S. is headed? And frankly, when you look at Congress today, how do you get any sense of direction out of that mess? So, you know, that uncertainty creates, you know, uncertainty back at the plant level where you question what you're going to deploy your capital on.
Yeah. Well, as I heard mentioned today, perhaps here in a few weeks after we get through this midterm election process, maybe a little clarity will show itself. We'll find out. Now, I understand you are new chairman for Renewable Fuels Association?
Correct.
I know you spoke with Cindy just recently, but how are things going with RFA right now? Just your thoughts as the chairman.
RFA is really a good organization. It does two things really well. It does address the policy. It has a great voice inside the Beltway at Washington, and that's one of the things that RFA has always been able to do is vocalize our industry's needs and concerns to policymakers in D.C. It'll continue to do that. But on top of that, RFA has also developed the technical expertise to address some of these questions that arise and address them very well. And frankly, the policymakers and others depend on the technological expertise that RFA is bringing to the debate to be able to shore up their own arguments.
Yeah. Well, when you mentioned voice, you've certainly got a good one with the Reverend of Renewable Fuels there, Mr. Deneen. So I'm going to give him a little shout-out, too.
Absolutely. You know, Bob comes from a Catholic background, and his family always thought that he was going to be the priest, you know, and now he gets to be called the Reverend, and that's kind of funny. We enjoy that. That's a good thing. Bob does a great job and very proud of what he does.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Randy. Glad I got to visit with you here. And Cindy will be thrilled to death that I accomplished her request to get an interview with you. So we will have that published very soon on domesticfuel.com. Here from Minneapolis, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.